just can these bones live? Might these bones rise once more? What else was I to say but you alone can tell, oh Lord? A legion hour alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. And prophesy, O Son of Man, cry out to this dead horde, and when they come to life again, they'll know I am the Lord. And as I spoke what I was told, there came a rattling sound. As bone to bone they formed a mass of bodies on the ground. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all the dwellings will wake and shout for joy. And then I called upon the winds, upon these slain to breathe. At once they stood upon their feet, a mighty vast army. A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all those dwelling in the dust will wake and shout for joy.
But that's not how it used to be.
Appointed sons of former ones, the allocated kith, receive their tempered teachings in the furnace of the smith. The lessons on conformity, enormity and loss, on hardness and fragility, and both becoming dross, or battered into usefulness, or molded in the warm of molten most persuasiveness and hammerings conform. The melted miscellaneous, the dearth and dust and score, eventually forgotten there upon the blackened floor, unfolding in the scolding, reshaping in the shame, a measuring of metal in understanding flame, where centuries of sameness and blemishings reprise are altogether altered in spark and cinder skies, and fitted into finer frame, a name above reproach, that ever after might attain where death cannot approach, created through adversity, attending in the fire, remending in the mercy to better built attire, until the final measure, the treasure to complete, upon the maker's pleasure the method will repeat, reforging and refining, reforming and review, a product of designing, the miracle of you.
I'm going to let you in on a big secret, and I won't let my alligator mouth overload my jaybird backside. You know, when you're in touch and you realize who you are, that you're a daughter or a child of God, you don't have to be down there on your knees begging. All you got to do is walk the chalk. Walk the line, keep it fine, and he'll hear your prayer away up there.
Everybody crying for a human ride. Everybody want to wave a fist and fight. If you're only living by your appetites, you better think again. Everybody crying for Zion. Yes, everybody's crying for Zion. Are you really ready for that lion? You better think again. Walk the chalk.
Walk the chalk.
Live the talk.
Live the talk.
Ain't nobody free in old democracy till we learn to walk that chalk. Everybody crying for environment. Don't you know planet Earth is heaven sent? Soon enough we're gonna have to pay that rent. You gonna think at all? Everybody crying for a better day. Never smart enough to bend a knee and pray. Then they ain't gonna listen to you anyway. You better think again. Walk the chalk.
Walk the chalk.
Live the talk.
Live the talk.
Ain't nobody free in old democracy till you learn to walk the chalk. Everybody's crying for security, looking for a plentiful economy, counting on a country full of usury. You better think again. Are you walking? Or are you squawking? Pick out them feet. Get those wagons in a circle. If you want to finish on a happy note, don't you know nothing changes when you vote? Till you listen to the shepherd, not the goat. You better think again. Walk the chalk.
Walk the chalk.
I said live that talk.
Live the talk.
Ain't nobody free in old democracy till you learn to walk the chalk. Yes, walk that chalk.
Walk the
Come
talk.
On, live the talk.
Live the talk.
Are you gonna roast or seek the Holy Ghost? But you better think again. Are you gonna roast or seek that Holy Ghost? You better think again.
And then we will quit worrying about these bunch of little pissant imps on this earth that are always biting at us.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 19th day of February, year 2023. And I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Welcome Back, Michael. And Michael is from Sweden. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda. Kumri Ambeth. I'm going to try a new one here. Yekida. Now, I'm sure that's not quite the way they would say it over there, but that's basically a way of saying cheers or good health to you in Welsh. And the reason we do that is, obviously, I'm part Welsh on my father's side, Welsh, Irish, and German. And the fact that Welsh is the closest to our ancient Hebrew tongue. And many archaeologists, and there's some modern scientists and archaeologists who have also made that correlation. I remember there were times years ago when I said that I had detractors and shills try to tell me that I was full of mud. But they were probably Israelis sitting in a bunker somewhere getting paid to do that. But actually it is factual. The Welsh language is almost pure Hebrew. Of course, the modern Welsh has modern words, but the syntax, the pronunciations, etc., go all the way back to ancient Egypt and all the way before that to the ancient Hebrews. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is with no spaces. The Daily Mail page is where we put the current events and lots of information about everything from prepping to health to gardening to political things going on, and also information about arming yourself, etc. Anything for preparations for the times that we're in. The home page on the website is where you find information if you feel like helping us out with a financial donation, and we do appreciate those that do. And there is a Contact Us page. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can go there and type out a message, and I will get it. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of our Heavenly Father will not protect you. An old adage that says, do not be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. And another one goes, life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Our people seem to forget that. You know, a lot of people, I prayed and I didn't get what I prayed for. Well, I got news for you. Our Father in Heaven's not a genie sitting in a bottle waiting for you to decide that you're going to satisfy your narcissistic attributes. You're here as His servant, remember? He sticks closer than a friend. His love is unending. It does have conditions, however. Couple word definitions, because our vocabulary today is atrocious. In fact, the education system in America especially, but pretty much all the white nations, America is terrible. Dystopia, the state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. The word humble, something that the white man seems to have forgotten. In fact, people in general have forgotten. To be marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. In fact, the world seems to be under the spell of a narcissist spell today. Everybody thinks the universe rotates around them. And yes, Michael will join us here very shortly. Richard Buckminster Fuller nailed it when he said, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. The Bible calls it Mystery Babylon. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. There's many good people on this earth, but they don't see a way out. I've heard this over and over again through the years. That's because we haven't built a different model. We don't think we can. Yeah, we can. We're the sons of Yah. We can do anything. We can conquer whole continents. We can bring down empires. It's a mental mind game being played on us right now. The Matrix wants you to think that there's no way you can win. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning far away, the world will beat a path to his door. This goes along with what Mr. Buckminster Fuller said. If you can build a better system, if you can show a better way, a better economy, a better form of currency, then you know it will work. Okay, let's see here. I just clicked on the wrong thing. Let's see. For some reason, it's not... Let me... Okay. This is... somewhat embarrassing. Again, I apologize for clicking twice. Hold on a second. That's another thing that's aggravating when the software and the computers are not... All right, here we go. Let's try this. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I'm having a lot of difficulty with my recorder today, and I apologize for that. I have no idea what's going on, but it's stalling, or it's So we're losing portions here, and I'm going to have to edit and piece this back together. Again, my apologies. I'm going to have to keep a closer eye on it. It does this every now and then, and I have no idea why. So the live audience is going to hear everything, but those that listen to this later on are going to have to hear me piecing this thing back together. Again, I apologize. But the point of it is, this technology that he's giving us, even though we're running out of time and a lot of people are lazy, we do have methods that we can communicate and get this message out to our people that speak other languages. So praise Yahweh for that. I wondered if over the years that you've been broadcasting in Sweden now, has there been any change at all in the people there or in Europe in general? As far as you know, Michael, have they become a little more conscious about the evils that are in this world, or is it about the same?
I sense more consciousness, maybe not in the, if you say, the biblical truth that we also want to educate people in and help them with, but I sense in the world that you have so much evil, and I sense it also in Sweden, because they have started up a lot of now alternative media, but as we know, with those that I also was thinking about, a lot of them are government sponsored. They are controlled oppositions, are there also there. I would say it's more controlled oppositions than it is genuine people. That's my take on it when I've trying to understand how it is in Sweden. So that's my feeling, that those that come up with a lot of high tech, a lot of stuff, and a lot of, you know, fancy, often they are a controlled opposition, because we don't have this money. We don't have that kind of, we're having, as you say, a string budget. Our budget is very thin, and we have to use the means we have. And the means Yahweh provided us now is this broadcasting. That is how we are defiling, how we are battering this beast. It is with truth, and to put to death all the lies that the beast has put out for all those centuries. Because this has going on since ages, this lying, but I guess has ramped up now recently. It feels when the media, when the televisions and the magazines, then those lies has really been ramping up. So in Sweden, I sense there is an resurgence among Swedes also to want to finding out the truth. So that is but the biblical, not so much what I have seen. But on the more, what do you say, the political, but I don't, my feeling is maybe I'm not come as far as you in America, but it is on its way anyway. So that is very enlightening and very uplifting for me to know that people are catching along anyway. They are catching up now. And it's, and the lies of the Swedish system also bucking with all the vaccines and also, there are also hopes, I feel.
Yeah, very good. Yep, very good. I want to, just in case there was a gap in the recording when you were talking about your BitChute channel, I want to let everybody know again, Michael has a BitChute channel, and you can find it by looking for Nordic Awakening. I believe that's what it's right. Nordic Awakening, or is it Nordic Awaken?
Awakening. So Nordic Awakening.
Okay, Nordic Awakening. Okay, and then, and it's also kind of nice that he keeps his recordings there where he went through these various books, like the books of Stephen Collins and other identity material. So if you're, in a situation where you don't have time to read, you could go to Michael's channel and click on these books, and then you can listen while you're doing other work in your house or other chores and things like that. And you could even load them onto your, like, MP3 players. Like, you can clip onto your shirt while you're taking a walk or you're jogging or whatever. You can put headsets or earbuds in, and you can hear the message, because he reads through these very, very fine books. And a lot of people do seem to be able to do that, Michael. Audio books are becoming very popular with our people, because they're so busy trying to keep their head above water financially, because the Jews are putting the screws to the white man right now. And so they download audiobooks and do that listen while they're driving to and from work. I took Spanish lessons driving to and from work. And I think within just a couple months, I was through my first 30 lessons and was able to pick up enough that I could communicate, at least on a rudimentary level, with somebody speaking Spanish. So that's very, very quick, and it's all audio, so you can do it while traveling in your car, or if you're mowing the grass or vacuuming in the house, just put a set of headsets on and you can actually go through it. So there are some techniques for our people to use in this chaotic world that we live in today. I feel sorry for people having to travel to and from jobs and being out in this sickening world. I've been blessed to be a retiree, so I retired a few years ago. And so I don't have to do that. And I'm going to tell you, I say every morning, praise to the Father, that I don't have to be out there, because it would drive me crazy, especially dealing with the corporate world and the insanity. It was insane when I was working. It would be completely nuts today, especially with this whole COVID scam and the idiocy that these corporations are forcing people to go through. So I give my condolences and prayers of support for the white men and women, and actually people in general, that have to put up with this nonsense. It's just insane what's going on today, and especially if you have to commute. Because I've noticed, maybe over there it's the same way, Michael, but I've noticed that motorists, people in their cars, are acting strangely. They seem to lose their temper much quicker. They're much more agitated. They're driving erratically. There's more accidents. It just doesn't feel safe. What's your opinion as far as what's going on in your country and in Europe?
Yeah, a bit. I have also a bit that feeling that something has changed in the way of, as you said, the drivers of cars and vehicles. I can also sense it, not maybe so much, but I sense a difference. I can sense a difference, and as you say, very ill-tempered. If this has to do with those poisonous jabs, I don't know. But people are, I think the effects about those jabs will, of course, create, because of there are technology, I believe, for now when they have implemented this, probably to read their thoughts and also maybe affecting them in some way or another. So, yes, I can sense it too here. So I think the technology basis regarding to what we can manufacture, think we can do, is so far beyond what we know, what we have perceived, what we have been force-fed from the governments and the Jews, because, of course, they have a lot of other technology that we don't know about.
Amen to that. You're right. They are hiding much. In fact, it's interesting, here lately I'm finding out through various sources that the enemy, these Zionist communist pigs that seem to have risen to the top in this world, they have been hiding things from us for a very, very long time. And it's becoming very clear that this matrix that we live in is almost like the movie, okay? We're not necessarily laying in a pod of goo with cables coming in and out of us like in the movie, but symbolically, we are just like the people in the pods. By tuning into the beast system and letting them program us through entertainment and sports and pretty much everything over the flat screens, especially the movies and the broadcast mainstream television, tell lie vision, or what I call Talmud vision, because the Jews completely control that image maker. But people that watch a lot of programming, if you combine that with the people that put the poison in their bodies. It seems like the two of them are working together to make people really bizarre today. And it's my feeling that some of these people, it appears that it's already happening, but these people may not be here much longer. I think we're going to see a lot more of them starting to die. How do you feel about that, Michael?
Yeah, I also agree with your view about the Talmud vision or the Tel Alai vision. So we have it the same here in Sweden. Of course, it is the Jewish Swedish oligarchs run that. And the foremost one is called Bonnier, and he is Jewish. And then also his the bankers Wallenberg, of course, also. So this is the same story here too. All that comes out from those televisions, radio, this programming, as you alluded to, are it affects people. And as you, I think you also said it before, that when you sit in a room and people put on that television, it's like a beam, so they can't communicate. It's like whoop, and they are like gone. And then also this with as you said, I also, because those what I understand, those yabs seems to contain nanographine as a very, so this I believe can be of course they don't want to activate immediately, because then people wouldn't take it. So probably this something they probably, I don't know if this is true, but I think that they would use 5G in this sense to induce sickness in people. But then it would be maybe 3-4 years since the Goethe did it. So it can't be the vaccines, you know, Dan, can it?
You know, that's based on what we were talking about earlier, I think I'm going to have to do a show here pretty soon and reiterate the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, which was created by Jews, particularly Marx and Engels, two kikes. But the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are completely here in the United States. In fact, I would say they're in every white nation, because traitors have taken over government positions in every white nation, particularly the Jews. You know, it's like Ezra Pound said, keep the Jews out of government and they cannot betray the nation. Because that's what they are, betrayers. And I'm not saying that on my own. I'm quoting from books like Samuel Morris and other Jews who have written extensively about the fact that they are the world's revolutionaries, they are the world's detractors, that they'll never be satisfied no matter what we do, because that's who they are. They are murderers. They are deceivers. They are thieves. That's why all through history they were known as the name changers. Okay, today we call them Jews or kikes or whatever. But through history, you can read old manuscripts from centuries ago where they were known as the name changers, because they did two things. One, they tried to hide their criminal backgrounds by changing their names. They still do that to this day. But in antiquity, they used to do this. They would travel along the caravan routes and the trade routes, and they would see some merchants that had camped, and they would befriend the merchants, and they would get up and share food with them and drink and all that. They would learn everything they could about the merchant, and then they would murder the merchants and take their identity and move on to the next camp pretending to be that person. It reminds me of these Jews that take over white businesses like J.C. Penney's and Sears, and there used to be five and dime stores in the little town that I grew up. The Jews would take it over, but they would not change the name. They kept the Anglo name so that people wouldn't be aware of the fact that Jews took it over. Same thing with Disney and many other companies. The Jews take it over. You know how they took it over, because of the way it changed. For instance, my father used to work for Owens Corning Fiberglass. And it was run by Jews, and eventually Jews ran it into the ground, and they set it up for a hostile takeover and destroyed a perfectly good company. It was a very good company that made a very good product. But the reason I know that, because my father died over 20 years ago, but my cousin went to work at the same plant in our hometown where my father started out. And so he, as an employee in the maintenance department, he would tell me what these people were doing to the company and how they were selling it out. And it fits like a glove with every company the Jew takes over. They start gutting it. They start selling off pieces of it. They don't give any promotions. They don't give any pay raises. They start taking away benefits, especially near the end. And so they destroy the company from within, and then they make money selling it off to like a French company or some other company that completely then takes what little is left of the carcass and strip it out. Okay, this is what these monsters do. They do not create anything. They become like a parasite, and they move in, and once they move in, they destroy it. They suck the lifeblood out of it. Now, here's the interesting point. At some point, if there's no new white businesses and the white man ever wakes up to what these Jews do, they won't have anything to host on. They won't have anything to feed on. And they will die like any parasite, like in your body. If you do the chlorine dioxide or the Miracle Mineral Solution program, you will kill the parasite within you. Stop feeding it, just like the candida is a parasite or a fungus. Candida can be destroyed. Candida is why people crave sweets, by the way. And I have been through this program, so I know for a fact it works. I used to be a sugar junkie. I mean, terrible. I had to have candy all day long, eat something sweet all day long. And I had a friend of mine tell me about the candida diet. And what it is you have to eat like meat and eggs and vegetables, but you cannot have any sweetener. And when you do the diet for 1 week, you can't even have fruit. Anything with sugars in it, you can't have. But you can have all the eggs and vegetables and things like that, like steak. You can have all that, but no starches and no sugars. Then in the second and third week, you can have one piece of fruit, but there are no other sweeteners allowed for 3 weeks. Now, a lot of people say, well, this is crazy, but I'm going to tell you, I did it. I lived it. I know. During that 3 week period, I never felt better in my life. The entire 3 weeks, I had more energy. I did not have any indigestion. Even some of my aches and pains disappeared. And at the end of 3 weeks, this is the God awful truth here. At the end of that 3 weeks, my craving of sugar disappeared completely. And I was laid off at the time. And I went for an entire year with no cookies, no cakes, and no pie. I went an entire year from being a junkie to I didn't have any. And at the end of that year, I went back to work, and sure enough, there's donuts around and cakes and cookies and all. So I did eat some, but it was completely different. Instead of the sweets controlling me, I could walk up and break a donut in half and eat just half a donut or a quarter of a donut and be completely satisfied. And even to this day, I'll eat some sweets, but nothing like I used to do. And if I don't get any sweets, I'm fine. My whole point is a little 3 week period. That's all it took. 3 weeks. My biggest thing is, why wouldn't we eat like that all the time? It sounds crazy, but again, the point of it is the candida is what does that. And when you kill the candida, you kill the bad habit. And the white man has to understand that the Jew works just like the candida in our body. It lives off of our, quote, sweetness, our generosity. That's the fault of the white man. They take advantage of that. They live off of that. And they create the cravings for all of the vices that the white man suffers from. If we could come out of that system, if we could do like the Bible says, come out of Mystery Babylon, come out of that system, and if we walk away from it after a period, a short period of time, we'll find out we don't crave it anymore. You lose the craving, and when you lose the craving, the Jew loses his hold over you. But you have to have the strength enough to do it. You have to have the will to want to be free of the parasite. There's a good book written by a gentleman by the name of Glidden that I have, and it's a, and he's an educator, and he's an atheist. He's not even a believer. But he was in the education system here in America. I think his first name was Philip. But Mr. Glidden, I did an interview with him after I read his book, but he went through in this book, and he talked about how the Jews have taken control of the education system. So he's not even Christian, let alone identity. He just looked at it strictly as an educator and what, over the course of his career in education, what the Jews had done to us. So there are truth tellers out there, but we have to have the willpower to seek out this information and go after it, read it, and absorb it, and learn that we got to get this parasite out. This parasite is destroying us. It will kill the host if we don't do something. And we have to get rid of the parasite. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you for the elaborations regarding to, as you said, with Candida, and I guess also something else. I think you sent out a little meme also about borax or boron that also have the to make your body highly, and you will be get a proper pH in the body because the cancer, candida, they can survive in an alkaline environment. So that's just on this with candida. And I've used also, can I say, borax with good results. I realized my stiffness and my sometimes when you wake up, you're a bit stiff in your muscles. But with this, I feel much more that there are all the the body moves much easier and much more without problems. So this is something so that it works, and it's something that Yahweh has provided for us. So this is again, Yahweh has provided everything we need. We, as you say, we don't need the Jewish pharmacies. We don't need Jewish bankers. We don't need them. And as you say, this with get back to just because if we just realize that we don't need their it, and they have so much. What do you say? They, what you also said, now divert it or get away from it. And because there are a lot of educated idiots in the world, and it feels like sometimes the more people have gone into high schools and higher education, the stupider they get, and the hard, it is so hard to get in through their brains that they have been tricked, they have been lured, they think they know it already. And I think it's the same in Sweden as in America regarding to people that have gone to college. They think they know it all already. They know every answer already. So why bother? I don't have really the energy, the time, or the will to discuss with them because they already know it all. And those, I try to be as far away as I can because I can't stand that really. And, so it's there, and there are solutions. I think you also had this quote that we have to construct a new model that is to make this present model obsolete, because we don't need all the delicacies from Mystery Babylon. They using technology, of course, can be good. It can use because it is like a weapon or something. You can use for good and evil, and our enemy, of course, using it for our detriment and trying to enslave us with it, but we can use those as a sword against them, like this we're doing now. This platform we're using now, we're using the internet to combat them also. So We have to be street smart in how to combat this beast. Because right now, I believe we have the our duty right now is to being on the media platforms, being those media soldiers, and trying to just put to death all the lies that exist. Because everything that has been told to us seems to be a lie. And also probably I am not looking so deep into it either, but also maybe the shape of the earth seem also to be a lie that as well. So there is a lot of lies out there. So, I will highly also recommend to using the boron, borax. I don't know, have you any experience regarding to that, Dan? And something else I thought about this, as you said, this atheist that comes to the same conclusion as we do. But I believe also because Yahweh says that I am the truth, I am the light. So the truth is his spirit to finding out the truth. Because then he is to doing searching for truth is, I believe, something that Yahweh God puts in people to do. Because all people don't either have they don't have the courage really to do it either, I think. They don't want to, they want to be left alone. Everything is perfect, everything is good, but it's not. But I think that to searching for truth, I believe, it's something that Yahweh puts in our heart to do. Because why, we can always throw out the seeds to them, but to pick it up and also to grow in them, that's Yahweh. We can never force anybody to anything. We have to sow the seed, and then Yahweh has to do his thing to make it grow in them. Over to you.
Yep. Amen to that. Yeah, the borax and the baking soda, I've done both and do them from time to time. Both of them work. If you can afford a alkalizer, I used to have one back when I was working and I had money. I bought an alkalizer that takes tap water and turns it into acidic water and alkaline water. The acidic water is very good for your plants. The alkaline water, of course, is what we would drink, and it helps keep the body very hydrated. High pH, say up around 7.5 to 8.5 pH. That's a percent of hydrogen scale. And 0 is very, very highly acidic. And 14 is almost completely alkaline. So neutral is 7, right in the middle. So when you hear people talk about pH levels, anything between 7, 8, and 9 is considered fairly high pH as far as water. And I went during a winter in Michigan that was extremely severe, very dry, very cold, and I was drinking this high pH water that I was making, and my skin never dried out that whole winter. Used to be my skin would be like my father's when winter would come, and his fingers would bleed, his lips would bleed, so would mine. Because our skin would dry out so bad. But when I was drinking the alkaline water, the entire winter, my skin on, like my fingers and everything else, including the lips, never dried out. So, again, they don't want us to know these very simple truths, okay? So high pH water makes your body alkaline, but it also is more hydrated. It keeps and retains the water better. So if you have that kind of problem, dryness of skin, etc., a high pH water is good for that. But it's also good because, as you said, Michael, diseases and microbes that are harmful to us cannot live in an alkaline environment. They need to be acidic. When I was going through my certified natural health professional courses, I remember them talking about cancer victims. They took the blood work of cancer victims, and they found that the pH level, the body pH of cancer victims, was somewhere between 3 and 4, typically like 3.4 or 3.3. Now, remember, on the scale, I told you 7 is neutral, 0 is completely acidic. And it's a factor of 10, each of those increments, like going from 7 to 8 is 10 times in amplitude. So from 7 to 8 to 9, 9 would be 100 times more alkaline than 7. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're talking about people that went from a 7 where we should be down to 6, down to 5, down to 4 and below. So that's 1,000 times more acidic than we should be. People with cancer and severe diseases. Now you would think something as simple to understand as the pH and how it affects the body would be known everywhere, especially in this age of high technology. And yet the medical profession does not want to acknowledge this fact. They don't want you to know this fact. So the corollary to that is, well, if diseased people, particularly those with cancers, if their body pH is somewhere around 3.5 to 4.5, which is extremely acidic, a thinking man would say, well, if I keep my body up where it's supposed to be, around 7, and maybe a little on the alkaline side, so say 7.2 to 7.3, which, by the way, is where your blood is. A lot of people don't know this, but the blood in your body is, I can't remember the exact number, but I believe it's 7.2, so somewhere very close to 7.2 pH, which is slightly alkaline. If your blood moves off that scale towards the acidic side by more than a tenth, you die. So what happens is your body will absorb minerals and do other things to keep the blood constantly at 7.2. So even though the rest of your body might be acidic, your blood will stay at that very safe alkaline level until you die. Because if it comes off that level, you will die. So the rest of your organs and your body systems will suffer, but the body will keep the blood as alkaline as it can. So the point of it is, again, with all of these positive things that come with an alkaline body, you would think that people would teach it. I mean, it's such a simple principle. And somebody says, well, I can't afford an alkalizer, which I can't remember. I think I paid like $800 for it. Okay? Okay, so you can't afford it. But as Michael said, can you afford baking soda? You take an eighth of a teaspoon of baking soda and put it in a glass of water. It's alkaline. That's all you got to do. Baking soda. It's cheap. You should get the food grade. But you put a little baking soda in your water, it turns it alkaline, and it becomes more alkaline in the body. The other thing is, guess what else is very alkaline for you? Your green leafy vegetables. Well, that's right. Well, Dan, I don't eat vegetables. I had a friend of mine who was in his 40s that came to visit me from Boston, Massachusetts, and he told me the only thing he eats is meat and potatoes. That's it. Meat and potatoes, starches and protein, no vegetables. And he wondered why he was sick all the time. So your diet has a lot to do with alkalinity. So if you don't want to do the baking soda thing, how about changing your diet? Start eating more salads. Start eating fruits and vegetables that are alkaline in your body. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know what's something that's very acidic in your body? Red meat is probably one of the highest acidic foods that you can put in your body. And what is it that most white men eat too much of today? Red meat. Hey, I want my steak. I'm going down and have me a big old porterhouse steak, or I'm going to go down and have me a big old Big Mac hamburger every day, twice a day sometimes. And you wonder why your body's screaming, hey, I'm a little acidic here. And you've got joint problems. You've got arthritis problems. You've got weak muscles, and you're diseased. Everything's in the body. And borax, you're right about borax, which has boron in it. And by the way, boron is also what people put out to kill cockroaches and various insects that can invade your house, because the borax, or they should say the boron, gets into their body's digestive system, and it's like little shards of glass, and it shreds them and they die. So simple borax. And it does the same thing in the human body. And it doesn't take very much, a little tiny bit, like an eighth or sixteenth of a teaspoon in a glass of water. And that boron will get through your body, and it'll do the same thing to the parasites and the microbes that are harmful to you in your body. So again, very inexpensive, relatively easy things to do that you can improve your general health. And our people really need to do that. I wanted to ask you, Michael, have you seen the articles that I've seen here coming out within the last week where non-white people are putting it out that it's time to eliminate the elderly and eliminate Caucasian people? Have you seen any of those?
I have read some. I just came across just this, that they want to kill the elderly people. So I've read it, but I'm not in. I haven't followed the, as you say, the Swedish media so much. I haven't seen it there. But this is also truly a communist way to see on the elderly, because for them, the elderly is just a cost. They are seeing money. They are greedy. They are greedy. They only see the money in it. And same here again. Also we said, although simple thing with the pH, how we can combat bad health, I can combat so many common problems. But the pharmaceutical companies, they don't want us to know this, because then they don't earn money. So this is, and also you said about something you can do also for your, to alkalize the body, I guess, also is lemon water. And that has a lot of benefits just using lemon water. And it tastes, it's very good, and it have a lot of health benefits. Those easy stuff you can do, and also, as I say, arthritis, you can combat it with borax, with boron. You can fix it. There are way to fix it. But our people seems to be, sometimes they like their pain. They like to bitch and moan about their pain. They don't want to fix it really. I don't know what's your take on that, Dan, but sometimes that's when I try to help people, they're not so willing. They don't want to get help sometimes. You have to somehow, how to get to them is, you have to do it very, sometimes slow to see, are they open to those time. And also the beauty also with Yahweh stuff is also that you can't really overdose it, because then the body has a way to get it out of the body. And something else I also learned this week is that you probably also noticed then that cayenne pepper is something you can use for your, in like for a blood thinner. It is very beneficial for if, so if people have like a heart attack, then this cayenne pepper can help them. So cayenne pepper is like a natural remedy for the, instead of using, what I say, rat poison that people are now eating, that you can overdo, and it's, come on, poison, you're eating rat poison. So instead, cayenne pepper. So that's,
that's the beautiful thing, is it's very simple. I had an instructor, in the school where I was learning about natural health, and he's the first one that told me about that, because he, was prone to heart attack, which is kind of funny. He's teaching us about health, and yet he was prone to a heart attack, but that was genetics, partly. But the point of it is, he carried these vials with him, not only for himself, but in case somebody else was having a problem. So he used to carry three or four vials, small vials, probably only holding a fluid ounce, maybe 2 ounces. But the vial would have liquefied cayenne pepper with vodka. And the reason for the vodka is the alcohol preserves and makes sure that the solution does not become contaminated. And vodka has very little taste. So these vials would be one part cayenne pepper and four parts vodka. And what you would do is, if you thought you were having a heart attack, you would take the top off and just drink that down instantly. And what would happen is if you were having a heart attack, it would stop it immediately. The other interesting thing was, if you're having a heart attack, you will not taste the cayenne pepper. Because a lot of people go, oh my God, putting cayenne pepper down my mouth, no way. If you're having a heart attack, I had a frog in my throat. If you're having a heart attack, you will not taste it, and it will stop the heart attack. Now, if you're not, if it was a false alarm and you're not actually having a heart attack, you will taste the cayenne pepper. So that's one way that you would know if it's a false alarm or if you actually stopped it because of the taste scenario. So kind of interesting there. You know, you were talking about our people. And here's another thing, and I read a very good article about this. By the way, I just finished a book on the French Revolution, and the Jews were at work in France back in the late 1700s. They were doing the same thing in France that they're doing in the white nations today. So this has been an ongoing assault against white people, white nations, for a very long time. But this other article I read, it made a very interesting point. Our people tend to think that we're invincible, especially when we're younger. We think we're going to live forever. And so we don't believe we have to pay attention to our health. We don't believe we have to do anything to mitigate what life is doing. We're going to live forever. So we don't need to worry about whether there's a God or not, or if we have to obey his rules. We don't have to worry about our health. We don't have to worry about our diet. We don't have to worry about who we sleep with, because we're going to live forever. Well, obviously that's wrong. And as we get older, people start to realize that the body is starting to fall apart. And you start to realize that you're not this God that you think you are. And you better start looking into things a little bit more. Now, the bad part is if Yahweh takes you home in your youth, you haven't been around long enough to figure all this out. But I used to tell people in some of the classes that I had that it's almost like God does you a favor. When you're young and stupid, he makes a body that's capable of handling some of your dumb decisions. But what he expects as you get older is that you get wiser and you stop doing the bad things and you start fixing things, because as you get older, you start running out of extra enzymes and extra hormones and different things in your body that you need for good health. And he expects you to start eating better and living better, because if you don't, you're going to die young. That's a fact of life. You're going to die spiritually, and you're going to die physically much younger than you think. And I don't know about you, but I've lost many of my classmates. I've lost many coworkers to bad choices, even some of my family, to bad choices. So, folks, on a spiritual level and a physical level, Yahweh's giving us a wake-up call. The Jew is about ready to try his world takeover. So the Jew communists of this world, running the banking system, running the governments of the world, what we call the New World Order, which is Jewish from top to bottom, they have reached the point where they realize two things. One, they're never going to be stronger than they are right now, because they've got all of the world banking system in their pockets. They've got the governments, especially the white nations, in their pockets. They've got the control of the media. They've got control of a lot of electronics. They control censorship. They're never going to be as strong as they are right now. That's number one. Number two is Yahweh is exposing them faster and faster and faster. So you take those two things together, and it's what the scripture says, that when the beast realizes his time is short, his anger will be very great. His desire to destroy souls before he's taken out of the way will be very great. That's why you see these medical people, the Faucis of the world, the Deborah Bricks or Burks of the world, Walensky, another Jew hag over at the CDC, Wachovic, or however you pronounce her name, the Jewish hag that runs YouTube, and she's got sisters that are in control of other platforms. That's why you see the censorship. The Jew knows their time is running out. The day of retribution is coming. And so they are actually insane at this time. They are mentally retarded, because they're saying things that if your brain works at all, you can tell to be, to use the vernacular, they are full of shit. Excuse my French. Okay? That is obvious if your brain works at all. And so the old saying is, when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interfere. As Sun Tzu would say, you know, if you want to be ensured of a victory on the battlefield, you must know yourself and you must know your enemy. We know who we are, those of us in identity. We know where we came from. We know why we're here. We know where we're going. We know who we are. And the beautiful thing about identity is it teaches who the enemy is, where he came from, his modus operandi, the way he works, the lies that he tells. He's been telling them since the garden. And so it gives us the ammunition, as Michael said, we can fight with the sword of truth. At this time, the day will come, the day of the sword, when it'll be the metallic sword that we will use to take down our enemies. But right now, it's the sword that proceeds out of the mouth, which is vocalizing Yahweh's truth. Back to you, Michael.
Yes, thank you. Yes, as you say, we are there. You sent out this beautiful meme about those digital soldiers. I can read it because I think it was very... It was very nice. We are the largest and most lethal fighting forces the powers of evil have ever faced. An army more than 1 billion strong, raised up by the living God to reclaim the minds and hearts of man. We are doctors, garbage men, nurses, professors, attorneys, teachers, factory workers, businessmen, cooks, fathers, wives, and friends, united as digital soldiers and assigned the same mission, eradicate the lies of this world and those who tell them. We will get every last one. So this is exactly what we are doing now. We are part of this. And also, as you said, with identity, we have, as Sun Tzu, we both know who we are and who the enemy are. So I think, and we are, that way, we are unique. We are the only force that tells both sides. Because there are a lot of people that have realized that the Jews are a problem. And they bash on them. But they don't really teach who they are and why this is happening. They also have a very, sometimes very, no, this is about competition. They want to get rid of us. They don't really know why. Because, as you said, this has goes on since the garden. This white genocide is nothing new. This always goes on. They just have ramped it up now lately because also, as you say, I think they are a bit nervous because we see a lot of stuff that is happening. This with this gas, this pipe, Russian pipeline in Nord Stream that was probably destroyed by your government with the help of Norwegian, some Norwegian
And Israelis,
for sure. The Mossad is behind everything, so they probably have used the American government and the Norwegian government for doing this, because they want to get into war because I think that is the, for the first, I think we are in an end of an economic cycle. So this system is about to, I think they don't have so much time with the system until it will collapse upon them. So that's why they want to get into war, because then in that way they can divert the attention of people to war instead of that the economic system has collapsed. Same with this, those balloons and UFO, whatever happened, that was just a diversion from the fact that Mossad, together with USA and also with Norwegian, has destroyed this pipeline. I think that was just a diversion for them. So this has all been this has increased. Same with this train accident in Ohio in East Palestine. But in fact, we also learned that it's basically 98% of white people lives there. So go figure why they did it there also. It is to attack us, to attack their main opponent. And that, as I also talked to Loki about this, that they can give the Jews. They have been very, and they're following their father, Satan, and doing the work. They're following what Yahweh said to them, this enmity. They follow it to the hilt. But we are forgetful. I mean, Manasseh, doesn't that mean like the forgetful one? And we are very forgetful. We forget about this. Oh, we are too blue-eyed and we think as, yeah, the world is just fine and we can't imagine that kind of evilness. But that is why we have been put here to do this. And I also like this that you told about when people are young. They, of course, maybe I qualify there as well. I mean, I'm not even 40 yet. So that Yahweh is in his wisdom giving us the room to do mistakes. And we think we are, as you say, invincible. We can do anything without really having consequences. But I guess when people are younger, they believe that money is all, and you gather money, and you forget your health. And the health comes in second hand. But I guess when people get a bit older, we realize that the health is everything we got. And that is where also the Holy Spirit is dwelling. So if we defile and destroy that, we also make it, the Holy Spirit will leave from us, and we won't get those warnings. And I don't know how much people are listening to that little voice, because that can save people from so much horrors and problems if you just listen. It's not like he will scream. It will be very subtle. And that, now I come back to Borax and Boron. That, for me, is at least the only way I have found to decalcify the pineal gland, because the pineal gland is the radio receiver between us and Yahweh. So if that one is calcified, it's like putting ice on a radio antenna. The communication will not be that clear. And it will also affect your sleep, because I guess it's the melatonin is created in this one as well. And melatonin, what I also understand, is one of the most strongest anti-cancer hormones in our body. Over to you.
Amen. Good points. Very good points. Yeah, you're right. The pineal gland is very, very important. It's called our third eye because it sits right there behind the bone of the skull, in between the eyes. And it's made up of rods and cones exactly like the eyeball. So it is your third eye. We see this physical world we live in through our two eyes because that's what they're designed to do. But the pineal gland, the rods and cones within the pineal gland are made for picking up the spiritual vibrations, the energy vibrations that come from our Creator. Because we're all tied into Him, okay? We're all tied into the intelligence that created this whole world. As Tesla said, we're all energy and frequency and vibration. Everything, okay? In fact, I love the way everything correlates with the holistic health approach to things. I learned about biofeedback systems 20-some years ago, and they work on the idea that every single thing in nature has a unique frequency. Everything has a unique frequency that it vibrates at, just like the fingerprints on a person. Very unique. Every snowflake, unique. And if you identify the frequencies of things back when computers were first being used for natural health, they figured out a way to detect these frequencies and to inject different frequencies through electromagnetic pulses into the body and then measure the body's response. It's called biofeedback. And today, the technology has improved to where they can do it through analyzing the voice. It's called voice stress analysis. And this technology allows a practitioner, like my naturopathic doctor does, a practitioner can use both her knowledge and this technology to do a non-intrusive assessment on your body's reaction to the different impulses going in. And by doing that, they can tell you exactly what's going on in your body, and they can tell you probably about 98% accurately what your body is requiring to fix or balance your system. Here's the other thing. When I was in school, they called it homeostasis. It means the body is at equilibrium. When all of the body systems are in homeostasis, meaning equalized or at equilibrium, you are at your peak health. You have energy, you have muscle mass, you have mental acuity, you have the ability to be healthy and to be vibrant. When you dis-ease, the very word dis-ease is a compound word. D-I-S, or dis, is from the Latin, of course, to mean to come away from or be from something, like disdain or things like that. So dis-ease means not at ease, not at equilibrium. So you have homeostasis on one side and what we call dis-ease. So the secret to good health is to bring us back into balance. And so the whole field of holistic medicine is simply to bring you back into balance. So because holistic practitioners are all about making you better, to overcome whatever's causing the dis-ease, whereas the modern medical mafia is designed to treat symptoms. It's basically called symptom management. In other words, they don't give a damn about you becoming better to becoming healthy. They're all about managing your symptoms because that's where the money's at. And I know, because so many of my family are in the medical profession, I know the Jews are at the top of it all. And when I was teaching, like my sister, who worked for a prominent hospital chain here in Florida, when I was telling her about how the Jews operate and all, she fed back to me that many of the things I was talking about were happening at the hospital system where she worked. And she said, you're exactly right. And when I looked into it, you're right. The people that are behind what's going on are all Jews. So again, people think that we're, the media wants them to think that we're white supremacist, anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, etc. Those are buzzwords. Those are ad hominem attacks on us to try to silence us. But what's happening is when people finally get their heads screwed on straight and they listen to what we're telling them, just like my sister did and some of my other family members, when they actually took the time to investigate, they found out what I was telling them is true. It's the same way in health. If you take the time, I told the story about my cousin called me recently. He's younger than I am, but he's got a tremendous amount of medical problems because he did like so many young people. He lived hard, played hard, and did not keep up with his health issues. And so now he's in trouble. And so he finally did a session with my naturopathic doctor, and he was amazed. He was stupefied at what she was able to tell him and to do for him, and yet it took over 20 years of my talking to him before he would take the time to talk to this lady. Now, can you imagine that? 2 decades of knowing everything that he needed to know about his health, and yet he would not do it until he's near his deathbed with problems. You know, that is part of our problem, Michael, is our people don't stop and take note of where we're at and what we're doing until it's near the end. The pain that we have to endure for our Father to get our attention is utterly amazing to me. And I want to give one other anecdote here very, very quickly. Back when I was in my 30s, okay, I did not know about holistic medicine at the time. I was not into identity yet. I was a believer, but not identity believer. But I was a young man in my early 30s, and I had my first kidney stone. I'm going to tell you, that got my attention. So I go to the hospital, and then I go to my family doctor afterwards, and she says, yeah, you have a kidney stone, and it's because you have high uric acid. The acid level in your body, your system is very high. Now, the interesting thing was my doctor did not tell me about diet changes, drinking more water, stay away from coffee and dark fluid. She didn't tell me any of that. She just said, here, take these pills. I said, what are these pills for? She goes, it'll bring your acidic level down. So for 30 days, I took these pills. I go back, and she said, okay, your acidic level's coming down, so here is a prescription for a year of taking these pills. And as I'm getting ready to leave her office, I just said, you know, by the way, what causes high uric acid? Okay, again, she never volunteered any of this. I had to ask her. I said, what causes my uric acid to be so high? And she goes, oh, it's your diet. I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, well, do you have any information on what foods cause high uric acid? So she reaches into her desk and pulls out this piece of paper, and here it is on a single sheet of paper, the foods that cause high uric acid. Guess what? Every food I eat at that time, every food I ate on a daily basis was on that sheet of paper. Every single thing I ate daily. I said, oh, my God. I said, no wonder I have high uric acid. So I left her office with the prescription. And for the next year, I did not take any of the pills because I did not fill the prescription. But I did change my diet. I drank no coffee. I drank no dark fluids, no Coca-Colas, no Pepsis. I ate no red meat. I ate no chicken. I ate no turkey. I ate peanut butter jelly sandwiches and tuna fish for my protein. I ate lots of vegetables. I did not drink or I did not eat any gravy. I stayed away from everything on that list for an entire year. So I went back for a checkup at the end of that year, and she says, well, here's your prescription for another year. She goes, your blood work came back and it's perfect. I said, well, thank you. I said, but I don't need the prescription. And she goes, why not? I said, because I never filled the first one. And she got this look on her face of total disbelief. She goes, you did not fill it? I said, no. She goes, well, what did you do? I said, I stopped eating the foods that were on that list. Now, here's the beautiful part. So for 1 year, yes, my diet was bland compared to what I was eating before, but after 1 year, my uric acid levels were perfect, and I could start eating meat and turkey and chicken and coffee and gravies. I don't drink any soda pop anymore. None. For years, none. But the point of it is, just like the Bible says, all things in moderation. So when I went back to eating the things that were on the list, I ate very small portions. And I did not eat them every day. And so now, 30, 40 years later, I still have uric acid levels that are right where they're supposed to be, and I almost never, ever, ever get kidney stones again because I drink lots of clear water, and I have found out there are herbs that you can take to destroy kidney stones and gallstones, by the way, that are completely natural. So if I feel any kind of pain in my kidney, I drink lots of water and I take these herbs, but that's only maybe once every 2-3 years that happens. So you see what I'm saying? Knowledge, as scripture says and common sense says, knowledge is power. So again, my medical doctor did not give me any of this stuff on her own. I had to ask. And you talked about the Holy Spirit, Michael, and it's the Holy Spirit that told me, ask her the question. The Holy Spirit said, you don't want to take that drug. Because again, I was not trained yet in holistic medicine like I am now. But the Holy Spirit said, that's not good. You need to fix your diet. And so I followed what the Holy Spirit said and I got a blessing from it. That's the point I'm trying to make. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, but that's so... we have to be, at least when I see this, as I said with this, we come to this with the Holy Spirit. I have to be better to listen, because sometimes you hear it and then you get to discern it and then to listen and do it. Because as you say, you get blessings, and this is also why I said, I guess, why is wisdom more precious than gold and silver? So I mean, those that gather gold and silver all day, you know, the mighty dollar, most toys win. Yeah. It's maybe fun when you're younger, but I guess when they get older, it's not so fun anymore, as you say, because then they're, as you alluded to your, one of your cousins, that he's like a wreck now. And because of his, he had neglected his health. And I think that is the one of our most precious thing to have. And also we need to be in good health. I mean, that's also something very, when you look in this, in our movement, identity movement, many people are very health aware also. That's something that seems to come along. And so for me, when I found this message, then everything for me just was felt so correct to be here, because it is about health, it's about shoes, it's about, yeah, everything. You find everything. I can't really understand how people don't want to learn about it, but I don't know. We are not supposed to know everything. That's what we learn. And also with the Holy Spirit, I know when I've been sometimes, I think people also miss out a lot of the Holy Spirit, because they have, example, noises going, they have music that has been, they have also there when you talk about frequency, when they have changed the natural frequency that will raise the consciousness. First, you have this 432 hertz, and that's a natural harmonic resonance. But the current one that they have changed with Rockefeller Foundation in charge of this to 440 hertz, that is a more of a conscience suppressing. So if you, for example, sits in the car, whenever you are at home and listening to this modern music, I beg to differ. I don't think that it's not so easy to hear the Holy Spirit, but I can be wrong, but I guess it makes it harder to hear, because it's, we get it. I often get it also when I go to bed or when I want, yeah, you sleep. So you get, and sometimes of those, and everything that also pops up in our mind is not true either. I realize sometimes it is, I don't know what to call it. It feels like our devils in our mind start to think about stuff that is not true. It's just our brains that spins along. But that's, I guess, we have to discern between that. But I can realize sometimes when you get maybe upset about those stuff, then I more and more come to think that then it is not true if you get upset with it. But I don't know if this is just my, I don't know, speculation, what I think is true, how to, because in the coming times, I think it's so important with this, to having the connection with your Holy Spirit. That was the same stuff when this COVID nonsense, this pandemic started with the testing. And the first thing that I got when I heard, they start with, oh, this is fake. And when they want to start to test people for it, and I didn't do it. My whole company did testing everybody, but I just say, okay, I can stay at home, no problem. I don't do a test for something. I just rejected it out loud. So it's a lot of people, I think, that because I think this testing, this PCR, is manufactured also a way to vaccinate people. So if you done, that's what I have come to grip with. I think that is the way they have vaccinated people out of their knowledge. They get in this this nanotechnology in them, this hydrogel together with the nanographine. And I more and more think that the work that this German science, now I lost his name, when he said that this they put in the body is like razor blades. It's like nano, small razor blades that go through the blood. So that is why we see a lot of athlete people, military guys in very fit bodies, and that die, collapses, because of the blood has been spinning around so fast in them, so they have, from within side, they have been destroyed. I don't know, what is your take on that then?
Well, it's a little bit like we talked about the boron that is in borax. The boron gets rid of cockroaches and things by doing the exact same thing you're just talking about. That the boron molecules act like little razor blades, and they get in there and they tear up the digestive system and the internals on pests like cockroaches. You got to remember that we non-Jews are cockroaches to the Jew. Okay, and again, I'm quoting rabbis and other Jewish writers, okay? This is not my words, this is their words. We are their slaves, and we are the goyim, which means animals. To the Jew, a non-Jew is just an animal, a human resource. And so treating us like a cockroach, it fits with them perfectly. And here's the irony, Michael, is that we're giving permission for this boron-type material. It's acting like a boron. We're giving them permission to put the poison that will shred and tear us up internally. We're giving them permission. They're not forcing us at the point of a gun. Some places, I think, might be, but not here in America. Okay? They're getting you to voluntarily do it. It's a mind game. It's a mind trick. And Satan does this many, many times. Now, they put the staged events to make you think that they're going to use guns and do all this stuff. But folks, 99% or more of the white race that has put this poison did it voluntarily. It's like going to church. You have volunteered to hear Satan preach lies to you by going to mainstream churches. Okay? You have volunteered to support Satan's kids and call them God's chosen. You volunteered by going and listen to the John Hagees or the Kenneth Copelands and the rest of these whores that for money teach the doctrines of devils. You volunteered to do this. It's mind-blowing, the stupidity of the white race today. Unbelievable that you would actually volunteer to do Satan's work on the earth. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wanted to let you know too, Michael, it was beautiful that you came on with us today to share, but I also was contacted recently by my good friend John, And he knows Sheriff Darleaf up in Michigan, who's a constitutional sheriff. And Sheriff Darleaf has also been on some of the other freedom platforms that I've been on in the last few months. So that's a connection that we're going to explore. And I'm going to have John come on with a testimony about what the National Liberty Alliance is doing in America today. I'm also going to ask Ella, and I know she's listening out there, I'm going to ask her to think about coming on for a testimony in the area of health and how following Yahweh's ways changes your life. Because Ella is a retired cardiothoracic nurse, which is where the department that my sister was in before she died. She was in the cardiothoracic unit. And Ella was a intensive care unit nurse in cardiothoracic. She also has done many other things in nursing in her career. And she's reached a ripe old age that she can tell you about when she comes on, to where she's been on this earth for a good long time. And again, the wisdom of the older folks. Remember, the enemy wants to destroy us elders, because you youngsters, they will have a much easier time of convincing you of lies. Because we elders, as the old saying goes, when an old man or an old woman dies, a library burns to the ground. We have spent decades to know what we know. And it's a shame when younger people do not take advantage of the wisdom of the elders. The Antichrist wants you to think that we are a burden on society. I got news for you. I'm not a burden to anybody. I take care of my own. I still work. I still mow grass. I still fix cars. I still help neighbors out. I do the broadcasting. I still read. I still study. I still exercise. All right? I'm not a burden to anybody. And the money that I get is not a benefit. The money was stolen from my paycheck for over 40 years. So don't tell me that I'm getting a benefit from you or anybody else. That's my money that was stolen from me. So again, you got to look beyond what the beast is telling you and understand what these creatures are up to. It's no good. So hopefully we'll do that here in the very near future. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this also to respect the elders is, for me, I've always been something in my, always do, because, as you said, there's a lot of wisdom. We can learn so much from each other. But this Jewish word, this generation gap that was created by them, of course, because they want to have, as you say, they don't want us to learn from you. And for me, I've learned very much from you, among other, about this message. Without you, I would never have come to this. I would never found. It took me probably a longer time, but it also gives us, a younger one, a much more easier, we'll say, travel, easier way forward to learn it, because then we don't have to do, because you have done so much research, and it's benefits us a lot. We that want to listen. Also, I also can comment on this with our people got these shots voluntarily. The same here. The only thing they did was a bit of a soft blackmail. Hey, you can't travel. Hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. And now they seem to lifting up those restrictions. But I think it comes back very soon again. But why should we even comply with it? Why should we do as they say? I am the master of my body and what I do. We are Sarvians, men and women upon the earth. We are not any slave object or under those Jewish lords that want to have us as cattle, because that is also said what they say in the Sanhedrin and in their Talmud. That's what they're saying, that they regard us as that. And that was something what I realized upon when I'm at work. We see this also among the corporations, that they regard people as cattle. It's just cattle. You just get some salary, and then you do everything. You just do what I say. Then my problem, not problem, but I have the, then comes in, I believe, this important having integrity to do the correct thing, regardless of money. and then say no when it is awful wrong. And that what I realized in Sweden and so many places, people you think have integrity don't really have it, because the money is so more important. They just go along to get along, or just because they need the money or whatever. They don't have the integrity, to say no. But I don't know. It seems to be, and I also think I have a more dark view maybe upon those in my age, because I think most of them run away also with their children to get those, because they need to travel. They must go on their trips to Thailand, wherever they go. That's so important for them. But to really come to grips with what happened in the world, that all this could come to an end very quickly, I think, because this is just, again, I believe, a diversion that the communists do. But when they want to enforce their dystopic world, this will cease. I believe they will just close everything down. So this is just, I think also was this pastor that you had that fled, George Rivari, said that also, that, yeah, all this casino, all this fun, that will come to a close when the communists come to power, the Bolshevik comes to power. They will just close it. So this won't go on forever. So they, so this with Elder also, I think it's so important to learn from you. But that all, as I said, this generation gap is so, that they have created, of course, because they know all the wisdom you have. They don't want us to learn it. They don't want this today. So, yeah, over to you.
Yep, I think you're right. And again, it's because our people are stiff-necked. The Bible calls it stiff-necked, which is just a biblical way of saying very stubborn, very self-absorbed, narcissistic. And they take advantage of that tendency, especially in this day and age. They promote it in the schools. They promote it through entertainment and all the other mechanisms that they have to control us. And by the way, people need to look up in the library or on the digital libraries, the archives, etc., the books written by Edward Bernays. Now, Bernays was related to the other Jew, Sigmund Freud, who's a complete fraud. Okay, psychiatry and psychology is a complete fraud. They turned it into a science, but all it is manipulation, figuring out how to deceive you and to monitor what you do. It's just a pseudoscience. There is no science to it whatsoever. It's just more Jewish bullshit. And so Bernays, just like his cousin Freud, wrote the books on how to create propaganda, to control the hive mind, and marketing. Okay, now, a lot of people take pride when they say, oh, I'm a marketing major, or I studied marketing. Do you know what marketing is? It's propaganda. Okay, so pure propaganda, typically in the political realm, propaganda is to sell an ideology, whereas marketing is to sell a product. But they operate exactly the same way. They're trying to sell an ideology that is a lie and a deception. So they use propaganda. This is the Jew at work and the Jewish brain, if you want to call it a brain, a primitive brain, but still a brain. So you get into marketing. Marketing is not a good thing. And even as a child, I used to ask, how do they make TV commercials saying they've got the best laundry detergent or the best coffee? By what standard is it the best? But you'll constantly hear that. Oh, this will get your clothes the cleanest. This is the best car. This is the best laundromat. This is the best dryer. This is the best fryer. Okay? How do they do that? Well, that's the Jew, Bernays, teaching marketing. Because the Jew learned through their pseudoscience on what triggers you to go buy things. That's why the commercials have the girl that is so sweet looking with the big bright pearly teeth, and they're eating things that are completely made up. Many times the food advertising, that is a plastic burger sitting on plastic lettuce. It's not even a real sandwich. Everything in marketing is a lie. And here's how we know that. Excuse me, got a frog again. Back in the day when white men had integrity and our nations were run more by white people, it was considered distasteful for a gentleman to advertise, because the thought was, if you have to advertise, then you must not be very good at what you do. Because if you are good at what you do, word of mouth will get you all the customers you need. For instance, here in my neighborhood, there is a older gentleman from South America that's lived here in this country for a very long time, and he's an auto mechanic. He speaks perfect English, and he's a hard worker, and he runs a very modest little garage by himself, and he's one of the best mechanics I've ever been to. He does not advertise anything. Why? Because everybody that uses him knows that he's the fairest priced and best trained mechanic in the neighborhood. And so he is always busy. Do you see the difference? Where the Jew-run companies got television ads, radio ads, newspaper ads. They've got a big billboard proclaiming they've got the best trained mechanics, blah, blah, blah. They own the dealerships. And I'm going to tell you something. I would not take a car of mine or a truck to a dealership ever, especially for any kind of fixing, maintenance. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. First of all, they're terrible. Second of all, they're way overpriced. And they're run by Jews. And Jews do everything cheap, so they hire the least qualified because they can get them cheap. But the advertising is, oh, go to your dealership because we're trained. Really? They are? Because the mechanics that I've dealt with don't seem to know their ass from a hole in the ground. Whereas the neighborhood mechanics, the guys... Like I just recently had some new tires put on by some guys. It's him and his brother in a dingy old shop. Bare bones, very inexpensive, but they do damn good work. So they get my business. No advertising, no fancy building, no Jewish propaganda that they're the best in the world. They simply do a good job. They're fair, they're honest, they're decent people, and it's all run by family members. They get my money, they get my business. They also get my word-of-mouth advertising, because now anytime somebody needs a new set of tires or their brakes fixed or what, guess who I tell them to go to? The guy down the street, the little local family-run business. Same thing with food. You want good food? Go to the local farmer that I know. You don't go to the Fresh Fields or any of these other Jewish-run lying institutions where most of the food in there is not really organic anyway. Okay? If it's got a Jew attached to it, it's a lie. How much more do you have to see? When their lips are moving, they're lying. It's no different than when Yahshua walked this earth. What did he say? When they speak a lie, they speak their own language. They are liars, deceivers, and what? Oh, that's right, murderers. That's why they can look with a straight face like a Fauci or a Burks. By the way, both of them kikes. They can look with a straight face into the camera going, oh, vaccines are good and they have efficacy and you need to take them, knowing damn well it's a poison because they have no conscience. A Jew has no conscience. Christ told us that 2,000 years ago, or whenever it was he was walking this earth. Lord knows, with the changing of the calendars and the hiding of the ancient documents, who knows when he actually walked here. But we'll assume that it was approximately 2,000 years ago. The point of it is, a white man, under the anointing of Yahweh himself, denounced these bastards approximately 2,000 years ago, and we, the anointed of Yahweh today, are denouncing these bastards. The question is, are people going to pay attention? Or are they going to continue to be harmed by what Obadiah and Ezekiel and Messiah himself said were the destroyers of all mankind? Or as Christ's disciples said in the New Testament, they, being these kikes, are responsible for all of the innocent blood shed upon the earth. Did you catch what it says in your adopted Bible? These creatures are responsible for all of the innocent blood shed upon the earth. If you don't believe that, then throw your Bible away. Stop pretending. Stop going to those damn churches where they're telling you these misfits, these miscreants, these cretins are God's chosen people. Please, wake the hell up. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you. And I want to also this with the marketing. And that's, I think, when you said that, that was the first time I heard, because that's nothing I haven't heard before you said it. And I have a personal, if I take a personal example on that, for example, now in this world now we're living in with marketing, and of course then those social platforms like Facebook and then LinkedIn, all those that you have for your work. But I have, of course, stayed away from all of them. And same with those to marketing me as an on the working place. That is also something I think is, as you say, that is something, what do you don't have if you need to do all this marketing for yourself? Then if you let your work speak and your work speak instead, then you will have the reputation, but that will come by mouth instead. That will come by that instead of trying to sell in something that are not true. So that is something, but that's, as I say, if you have integrity and if you do a good job, why a lot of marketing? Because it's just, as I say, it's lies. And propaganda for me is lies. It's only lies. So, and that's same for true about this as well. But the same unfortunately here in Sweden. But then also all this, because I read in this Colbrin Bible about, for example, luxury creates weak men. And sometimes I believe, you have the example of cars, because like you, I also find some amusement in doing this stuff my own, because then I know how it works, and I don't, by the way, sometimes easy stuff, changing brakes, of course, you can do it yourself, because then you learn it, and you see how it's supposed to work, I feel good when you do it yourself. You feel that you have done it instead of let someone else do it to buy again. Because with these money people, they buy everything. They can't cook. They can only go to expensive restaurants and think, oh, this is life. I can only eat this in expensive restaurant, but they don't know how to cook food by themselves. If they would need it, they can't, because they can't cook for their own food. Because they have been so, with this luxury has deceived them. So they are basically worthless. And that's what I've seen more and more here in Sweden, because we have gotten more and more materialistic in Sweden. And then what I thought about that is, you shared a very good, a very good quote on that, about, why they want to have people to being, what to say, liars, that they should be, this was this quote that was sent out the 15th of February. I can quote it. So the purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or convince, not to inform, but to humiliate. And therefore, the less it corresponds to reality, the better. When people are forced to remain silent when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose, once and for all, their sense of probity. To assent to obvious lies is, in some small way, to become evil oneself. One's standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. a society of emasculated liars is easy to control. And we had a little star on probability that it said, complete and confirmed integrity, having strong moral principles. And that is something in society that I feel is so lacking. And if you have it, integrity, and you have, then you're strange, or you are weak, you know, you're weak. Or if you are loving, sharing, and caring, you having those Israelite traits, of course, that is something that we regard as good. But then here in Sweden, sometimes, often it can regard as a weakness. Oh, you're kind. It's a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's something that comes from Yahweh God. Of course, then the world regards it as something very bad. But it's not bad to having been loving, caring, and sharing. And because I have personal testament to that myself, how people can regard me because I'm loving, sharing, and caring. And then they believe I'm weak. But I don't believe I'm weak. This is about integrity and doing what is right. Because if you don't help someone, maybe you're the only one that can help. Maybe no one else will. Because of this society when it's only about them, this me society, that caring for others is like weakness. No, I don't believe it is. I guess it is the same in America as it is here. Over to you.
Yeah, there's another meme out there. It shows a warrior that basically says, don't mistake my kindness for cowardice or weakness, meaning the white man is good until he's not. The white man is loving, caring, and sharing until he's not. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem called The Awakened Saxon. I would encourage people to read that poem. He wrote that quite a few years ago. And it's basically saying it takes a long time for us to learn to hate. It's not natural for us as Yahweh's Adamic man upon this earth. We were put here to be loving, caring, and sharing of other men and of mankind and of animals and plants. This earth, this paradise that we were put into, this Garden of Eden. And yet it's been turned into a cesspool because these creatures from the abyss have been given free rein upon the earth because the white man has been sitting on his ass, sitting on his thumbs, rather than doing what we were put here to do, which is to take up the sword in defense of the innocent, the widows and the orphans of this world, whether they are innocent animals, plants, or people. And yet we haven't been doing that. Instead, we've been listening to the lies of the serpent people. And now they rule this world, and it's uglier by the day, waiting for, as the scriptures say, the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, which means to show up for the game, to make an appearance, to have an effect. Or as scripture would say, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Doers. And by the way, the church world teaches that you should be like a pussified man and just sit there and take it. That's not what scripture says. Scripture says that you are known by your works. And if you don't have good works, the New Testament, by the way, if you don't have good works, your faith is dead. And if your faith is dead, what else does that mean? There is no righteousness within you. You are fit for nothing. Or as scripture would say, you're fit for only to be trodden under the feet of men. Because if salt loses its savor, as scripture would say, in other words, if salt loses its ability to preserve, if salt loses its ability to have an influence in the world around it, it's good for nothing but to be thrown onto the ground and tread under the feet of men. That's you, white man and white woman. Today, you don't affect this world. You're just a passerby. You're just a stooge. You're a cardboard cutout. sitting here taking Jewish propaganda and Jewish lies and Jewish bullshit, spreading their Jew fables to create fear, when you are the greatest force Yahweh put upon this earth. Our warriors are the greatest warriors ever to walk this earth. Go read the historical accounts when the Israelites were on the march and they had the bagpipes and the drummers in front of them. When foreign people heard those bagpipes and drums, they ran in fear. That's the warriors we were meant to be, and not these bun-wearing, lipstick-wearing, makeup-wearing, perfumed and cologned-up little cardboard cutouts that have the equipment of a man, but there's no lion therein. Yahweh wants to see the lions of the tribe of Judah. It's our people, the warriors of our people, that are ready to take this wicked, evil system and put it down like a rabid dog. Not try to change it. Not try to get it to behave itself. When you have a rabid dog, you destroy that animal. You have a rabid dog called a beast system in this world, destroying innocent lives everywhere you turn. Because the white man's too busy making money, playing games, being entertained. Those days are coming to an end. It's time for our people to come out of this Babylonian system and create alternatives, parallel systems, because that's our life raft for when the floods of judgment are released upon this earth in the very, very near future. You better have a life raft prepared ahead of time. You better have an ark ahead of time. Back to you, Michael.
Yes, and I believe one of those arcs is what we are creating here by doing those radio programs, by connecting to people with similar spiritual, have the same spiritual convictions and believers. I think that is one of our life shaft, because then we can learn from each other and how to. So I think that is something to have people around us that give us energy, people that that have the same moral, integrity, and also the integrity. That's it. Just having the same integrity, maybe not on every point, but having with similar. Because then also we can learn from each other, and we will be successful in that way. Those that are, as you described, those who won't be entertained, won't have fun, gather money, I don't know. Because that's Yahweh say, that you can't both serve God and mammon. Because if you only hunt for money, you have no integrity, you will be stepped over just for money's sake. And that's why we, as these, if I look to myself and to us, we looked at, oh, but you don't have so much. No, I don't need so much, because all this money creates also this always be worried about someone taking it from you. You will always have worries about it, and you will have your problems with that too, I believe. So we don't need it. We don't need it. We get a much calmer, much pleasant time, I think, if we don't have so much of it. So we has to, because all this also, we also know what I also think it creates weak men, all this abundance in money and those kind of stuff, because they can just buy everything. They just use money to get away. But come on, that time will also be over, I believe. I think so. I'm convinced, because I think we had someone on that discussed this, that at the moment we have two kind of people in this world. We have the merchants and the warriors. And at the moment, I believe that we, the warriors, seems to be, I don't know, say losing, but the merchants are winning. They do everything for money. They women's, everything for money. Everything is money for them. But we, the warriors, does this for our families and for the coming generations. We do this because of our loving, caring, and sharing. Because we love, we have this true love, this tough love for someone. But the tough love is the, for me, is that is the love which that is a responsibility that we are sharing with our people. Then everybody don't like it. I don't care. If they cannot take it, well, they're not in my foxhole anyway. You have to speak honestly. And if you are truly honest, you will rob people in the wrong direction. And then you are probably, I believe, also in the right direction. Because if you have all the friends you can have and no one, and you never offend anybody, well, I think you're not honest with yourself then. Then you only flow to get along, you just say you don't want to be left out. And that is something we spoke about down here in Sweden. That is something that is so feared to be different. How dare you be different? How dare you be the one Yahweh created you? You must be a good little communist, you know. You must follow, fall along. You must just smile just because you're so afraid to be left alone. You're so afraid to not fit in. And that is, in the Swedish society, is very ingrained here. Very ingrained. So I don't know how they created that, but that they create from, of course, from school to that always wants to fit in, because that's horror of Swedes to not fit in, to being alone. It's a horror of horror, unfortunately. So I don't know if it's the same in America, but here it's very like that. People are so afraid to not fit in.
Yeah, it's the communist shaming, and it starts in the school system, okay? Boys are shamed in being, if they're masculine and if they've got warrior qualities. Girls are shamed if they're chaste and protect their virginity. They're shamed if they want to stay within their own race. They're shamed. It's this public school system. And again, where did that come from? In America, it came from Jews again, John Dewey. And his whole system promotes another Jewish concept. And again, communist, okay? Zionism is communism. Rabbis will admit that. I've got quotes of rabbis and other Jewish authorities that go back decades. Judaism and communism are twins, two sides on the same coin, two wings on the same bird. And so they promote the communist ideas, and public school system is right out of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. What the hell's wrong with our people? What happened to my grandparents and parents that they did not recognize this? Why the hell did they send me to public school? And praise the living God that he protected me from this nonsense. Because again, I grew up on a farm. My pineal gland was pure, 100% pure as a child. And so the Holy Spirit was very, very easy for me to detect. And by the way, you mentioned it earlier, in the noise of today, especially today with all the electronics and all that stuff around us, the Bible says very clearly that we talk to our Father on our beds. It doesn't have to be literally a bed, but it's the idea, somewhere in seclusion, somewhere away from the noise and the distractions, somewhere where it is quiet, where it's just you in the stillness, in the dark, you and the Father in communication with each other. That's what he's talking about. That's why he said, go to your prayer closet, where you close the door. Nobody comes bothering you. No children are tugging at you. No wife can give you a honey-do list, okay? No boss at work is, oh, I need this to be done. Okay, you shut the world out, including your mate, everybody out, to where it's just you and the Father. And that's when you'll hear if A, you're mentally in that frame, B, a spiritual person and not one of those dead and dry bone bags that Ezekiel talks about. If you're seeking the truth, then the Holy Spirit is promised to talk to you. It's as simple as that. The hard part is in the doing. Okay, everybody talks the talk, but very few walk the walk, as our good friend Andy in Canada in his song just talked about at the beginning of the show, before the broadcast started. Walk the Chalk is the name of the song, okay? Walk the Chalk or Walk the Line. You don't just talk it, you walk it. And we're going to have to go here pretty soon. Michael, did you have any other issues that you wanted to bring up today?
No, I think it's, I have let out my heart to speaking, and it's very enlightening for me, and it's very, I hope it's also very, for our people that can benefit from it. So, I'm very glad, I'm very glad that we could do this, and hope we can do it soon again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Did you, would you want to give the closing prayer?
For sure.
Okay.
So, Heavenly Father Yahweh, we are so grateful that you have given us this, this modern technology to be able to communicate with our people in those very critical times. We believe we are in the end of age, and we're so thankful that you give us discernment, and we pray for more discernment, more wisdom, more knowledge, so we can be aware of the devil's vices he uses against us, so you can protect us, because you also so eloquently say that, touch not my anointed one, do my prophets no harm, so we are protected by you. So we are the weak links in this, you are the strong one, we are the one that has to do better, to not being the weak link. So we are so grateful that you're giving us this, the faith, the knowledge, and everything give us. And we pray all this in Yahweh's precious name. So be it.
So be it. Thank you, Michael. And we'll do this again very soon.
Thank you very much, Dan. And I wish you all a good Sunday. And we keep in touch.
Okay. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Take care. Yahweh bless. Bye.
All right, folks. Again, that was Brother Michael in Sweden, and thank you for tuning in. Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and always, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray, amen.
The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be sweeter than honey.
Osho said the greatest fear in the world is the opinion of others. And the moment you're unafraid of the crowd, you are no longer sheep. You become a lion. A great roar arises in your heart. The roar of freedom. Sheep have no freedom. The sheep live with fear and uncertainty every day. A sheep never leads. A lion never follows. A lion is in complete control of his or her life. The lion does not accept scraps and does not get told what to do or where to go. The lion goes about his business fearlessly and with extreme competence. You will never lead a lion to the slaughterhouse. They will lead you. The lion is the king of the jungle. And it's not because the lion is the biggest. It's not because the lion is the fastest. It's not because the lion is blessed with any great advantage over other animals. It's the mentality of the lion that makes the lion the king of the jungle. What is the lion mentality? Fearless courage. Bravery is a key trait of the lion. The lion will never surrender. The lion will never lie down and die, not even if surrounded by 10 hyenas. The fight is never over until it's over. Maybe you're not surrounded by hyenas. Maybe you're just buried by bills. Maybe you need to stand up for something you believe in that no one around you agrees with. Do not give up. Do not give in. Be fearless in going after what you really want in your life. Maybe you've been at it for years and nothing has worked yet. Maybe you're tired of hunting your goals and seeing no rewards. Do not give up. You must keep fighting. You have no guarantee of success if you keep going, but you do have possibility. There is a chance. The only guarantee comes with quitting, and that is the guarantee of missing out on the life you really want. Keep fighting for the life you must have. Regardless of the hyenas, no surrender. Certainty. The lion is certain. The lion never second guesses. When the lion goes in, it goes in 100%. There is nothing half-hearted about the lion. How great could your life be if you lived with the certainty of a lion? What if you just started believing in yourself and your own abilities? How far could you go with unbreakable self-belief? Who could you become if there was no doubt in you? If you trusted your intuition and just went for everything you want in life with the same ruthless certainty as a lion hunting its prey? You can't rely on other people to achieve the results you want in your life. You are the only one responsible for your results. Take responsibility. Take ownership. Take action. Only you know what's best for you in your life. Only you know which path to take in each moment of your life. You must make those decisions with certainty. Freedom. The lion has freedom because the lion demands freedom. The lion has freedom because he fights for freedom. His very nature says he will die for that freedom. Perhaps there's no more valuable asset on this earth than freedom. Something you can only understand if you've experienced a lack of it. In your own life, you must fight for freedom. Your own and that of others. The freedom to speak your mind. The freedom to be who you want to be. The freedom to live on your terms. Freedom means fairness for all. The freedom to be who you must be while allowing others to be who they're going to be. There is no greater value. Fight for your freedom. Protective. The lion is protective of everything of value. The family. The pack. Dinner. If you threaten anything of value to the lion, you better be prepared to fight. What do you need to protect? What are you willing to fight for in life? Not physically, mentally, emotionally. What are you willing to sacrifice your time for? What or who keeps you going? What is your purpose? What or who gives your life meaning? That is worth fighting for. Competence. Lions are said to sleep around 20 hours a day. Still, they never go hungry. They get up and they get the job done. They earned their rest. They earned their success. They earned their freedom. There are great rewards for competence. In life, if you provide more value to others than anyone else, in a shorter space of time, you will be rewarded, and you will be rewarded well and often. It does not matter how long you work. It matters how good that work is. It doesn't matter how many hours you put in. It only matters how much value you've created. Develop yourself into a competent machine. Work on what matters in your life with laser focus, ruthless determination, and a burning desire to do everything to the very best of your ability. That builds pride and respect for yourself. You might be smarter than me. You could well be stronger than me. You might have more luck than me. But you cannot defeat me. You will not detach me from my purpose. You will not distract me from my goal. You will not dethrone me. And you will never destroy me. I will wake up with intention, alert, ready, focused. Whatever I want, I go after. Whatever I go after, I get. If it matters to me, I will get it. I will have it. I will be it. You cannot defeat me. You cannot detach me from my purpose. You cannot distract me from my goals. You cannot dethrone me. You cannot destroy me.